Kyle, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Now, where in Lansing do you live?
I live on the West Side neighborhood.
And is it nice over there?
Yeah, it looks pretty nice.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm expecting some thunderstorms, like you were saying a little earlier. It's about that time of year.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go with this, and hopefully that will stay with us. Interesting weekend. You know, I always wondered, after you've gone through a week where you've been covering a lot of what's going on at the state capitol, on the weekend, after you get some time to reflect, you know, what comes to mind?
You know, actually, last week was a pretty exhausting week because the House and the Senate and the governor all came to their agreements on the budget, and this is going to be the week of implementation, the week coming up. I mean, all the agreements are pretty much made, and now they actually have to pass the bills that encompass the whole budget. There's 16 bills that they're going to have to pass in conference committee, and then they're, in a procedural standpoint, they're doing something completely new. You know, in the past, Tony, what they've done by and large is they've passed all these individual department budgets, you know, one for the DNR and one for ag and one for you know, treasury and whatnot. And this year what they're going to do is they're going to wrap them all up into one budget and pass them. So I mean, this is going to be a little different.
Let's talk about the education budget. And speaking of education, I want to let our listeners know that Kyle is at home, and he is with his young daughter and been there and done that. As a matter of fact, Kyle, whenever I hear your daughter talking, it makes me think of my boys when I was trying to do radio, and they're flushing the toilet in the background.
Well, we don't have any of that today. She's just upset that she didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Mommy as she left.
Oh.
I know, it's really bad. It's unfortunate.
Is the bill, and you talk about this on the newsletter, is it going to creep into June anyway?
You know, it very well could be, because there's a logistical issue here, Tony. The issue is that what we're going to be trying to do tomorrow is we're going to try and pass 16 budgets all in one day. And I don't think I've ever seen that before. So, I mean, like I was told last week, I mean, there's really no room for human error here.
Is there going to be any change to with what we've seen with education? Any more money added or taken away?
No. All those deals are made. There's going to be no changes. The only difference is going to be if, you know, if there's any hang-ups as far as getting votes and how soon it's going to be to get the votes. I mean, that's really the only question at this point. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time.
So education's done.
Well, it hasn't been passed yet. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, there's going to be some voting yet on it, and there may be some people who are going to be upset. The Democrats are always going to be voting no on their budgets, and so that's going to be part of the problem. But, you know, the problem is going to be trying to get all the votes needed, and especially on the Republican side. I mean, there's still some cuts in there, and so there may be some opposition that they may have to be running up against.
All right, of the 16, which bills are the most in trouble?
The transportation budget's probably the most in trouble because, you know, this whole issue about whether we're going to build a second bridge over the Detroit River, that's really a big question mark right now. Part of the budget was wrapped around whether the Canadians were going to give us $50 million or not. And, you know, the Republicans said, okay, well, we don't really want to do that. So maybe we can rely on the International Bridge Company to give us some toll credits. There's some work that they used to do, dating back to 1993, that they believe they can go back and actually recoup money from the federal government, which is really kind of interesting. And I don't know if they're ever going to be doing that or not. And so still a lot of consternation about, are we going to be doing this budget or are we not going to be doing this? You know, the good thing about the transportation budget, though, Tony, is that we don't really need to pass it in order to, you know, there's no general fund money involved. It's all federal money. So, you know, that could be an issue. But I don't think it's going to, it's not going to hamper anything, I think, long term.
I don't hear much when we talk about the prison system and what cuts are going to be made with that. As you and I have talked many times, many states around the around this part of the country are able to incarcerate prisoners at a cheaper rate than we do here. What's that budget look like?
Well, there is going to be the one prison closing that Governor Snyder had recommended, you know, right off the bat. And in fact, they're in the process of closing that now. But there is going to be no additional prison closings. I think most of the cuts from the corrections budget are going to come from the correctional officers themselves. So there's going to be concessions made, or at least the governor is expecting to hope to make concessions made to that budget. Now, originally, the governor had suggested $180 million in concessions, but because we're going to expect to get more revenue than we thought originally, it's going to be down to $145 million. That's still a lot of concessions, and since the vast, I wouldn't say vast majority, but the vast plurality of employees is in the correction system, that's where they're going to go for the concessions. And so when you're looking at the corrections budget, where the cuts are going to be are going to be in the employees themselves and not additional prison closings.
In an interesting story, which is at the top of today's MERS newsletter, the quote is, "Most lobbyists have higher ethics than this." Representative Pete Lund from Richmond, who is the House Majority Whip, he said this after a lobbyist for the Red Cross sent out emails to House members requesting that they respond for a whip count on bills. Before we start talking about this story itself, what is a whip count on bills?
A whip count is something that a majority or a minority caucus does before they actually vote to make sure they have the votes. There's nothing more embarrassing than being in the majority of a legislature or a Congress or whatever and running a bill and finding out, oh my gosh, we don't have enough bills, this bill is going to fail, especially when the majority wants it to pass. And so what they'll do is something called a whip count, and there's in each caucus there's somebody called a whip, and they count everybody in their caucus and find out, do we have the votes to pass or not? If we don't, who do we got to lean on to get the votes?
Well, who is this lobbyist? And he's stirred up a hornet's nest.
Yeah, well, he kind of got himself a little bit in trouble. Now, see, whip counts are done by the whip or the assistant whip or, you know, somebody within the caucus and not individual lobbyists. In this particular case, the lobbyist from the Red Cross was trying to get past a bill that would allow for an income tax checkoff for the Red Cross. You know, when you fill out your income tax, there's become quite a list of particular charities and whatnot that you can contribute to. And the Red Cross just wanted to have theirs added to the list. Well, you know, there's some question about, do we want to add more checkoffs or not? And, you know, what charities do we do? Because, you know, there's an innumerable number of charities that you can put on there. Well, anyway. Now, this lobbyist is talking to staff and thought that, you know, maybe he would do a whip count or was under the impression that he could do the whip count. So he tried to do his own whip count, and the whip wasn't too happy that somebody was doing his job for him.
He's going to get his policies through one way or the other.
He was trying to anyway. I don't think he's going to get it through anymore, though.
An interesting tidbit you have about Inside Michigan Politics editor Bill Ballinger telling you that it's been at least 47 years since Michigan's budget has been completed, and maybe the earliest ever?
Yeah, you know, and we'd really like to try and hammer that down to get something exact, because it is just so astounding that this budget is going to be done, you know, if early June, probably at the latest, and that just never happens. And, you know, if Bill Ballinger can't remember an earlier time, then I don't think we're going to find another historian out there who can, you know, find it. You know, the only other way we can do it is go back into old House journals and see if we can't dig it up ourselves. It's a lot of labor, but, you know, the fact that this is going to get done in early June or, you know, maybe even on May 31st, like the governor said, is astounding. I mean, it is something that hasn't happened in a long, long time, if it's happened at all. And, you know, it's just a credit to the governor and the legislature for bearing down, setting the goal and saying, hey, after years of misfunction and kicking this thing all the way down to the deadline and looking over the cliff. We're actually going to get it done obscenely early. So, I think it's been tiring for everyone involved, but I'd certainly rather see it done before Memorial Day than right around Halloween, which we've seen before.
All right, we've got two questions left for Kyle Malin. He's the editor of the MERS newsletter. Interesting bit of news about Rick Snyder. He's a U of M guy. He's a U of M grad. As a matter of fact, I was in his campaign bus when it was in Ann Arbor for the Michigan-Michigan State football game. And as you write, he's troubled by Michigan's unionization.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting story. Research assistants at the University of Michigan are looking at unionizing, and the Board of Regents over at the University of Michigan gave that the go-ahead, said, yeah, you guys can go ahead and have the vote and see what happens. And, you know, there's always some question about unionizing students, grad students, and that's always kind of a question. I mean, are they students? Are they actual employees? I mean, should they have some freedom, flexibility with their professors? And I think that's what Rick Snyder's talking about here. He's not exactly thrilled about this prospect. You can see the union side in that these people are getting paid, these research assistants are getting paid. Teaching assistants, TAs, have been unionized in some universities, including the University of Michigan, for some time. But, do we want to extend it to research assistants? That's kind of the question. And, kind of lock them into some kind of stable structure. And so he's not exactly thrilled about it, but he doesn't really have a say in the matter anymore. So.
And then we have a Michigan politician who is worried a little bit about a terrorist threat from within the state.
Expand on that a little bit.
You have the story titled Clark Warns About Terrorist
Hanson
Threat
Clark.
From
yeah,
Within.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Hanson Clark was on Off the Record this past week, and he says, we put all this focus on outside our borders, and we think about Afghanistan and Iraq, and think about the attacks that we've faced, the Oklahoma City bombing or, the World Trade Center, obviously, or before that, the attack on the World Trade Center. These are the types of attacks that really we should be more focused on than something that's going on over in the Middle East or whatever. These are the types of things that really impact us. So, he was warning us as a congressman from Detroit not to lose focus of that, and that as we're setting our national security agenda to really, and he's not suggesting that it hasn't been let down, but don't let our guard down about these kind of things because they can sneak up. You never see it coming, like the Oklahoma City bombing or the World Trade Center bombings, and have a much more disastrous impact on
it. All right. Thanks, Kyle.
All righty. Hey, thanks a lot.